This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, proudly sponsored by Dylan's Brewery and the Sky Blue Tavern. I'm Ross Cooper and today I am joined by my dream team partner, Dean Atkinson. He is back with me again. We're on a roll, aren't we?
Dean, we are on a roll, mate. I think this is like four in a row.
I think so. So, you know, like you always say, mate, give the fans
what they want.
Great to see you, Dean. Thanks for joining me for our preview of the big M69, or some will call the Ross Cooper Derby, some say, in my neck of the woods, being born in Leicester. And yeah, so it's a big game. And we're going to obviously have a look at a big, just a chat about the game. And, you know, as always, thank you to everyone for tuning in. So, Dean, obviously, on the back of Oxford, which we again didn't, we can briefly touch on that convincing performance. How are you feeling going into Saturday's game?
Yeah, super confident. It's our cup final, isn't it? Apparently, according to
it's been a good season, hasn't it?
For cup finals. How many cup finals we had?
I think we're at least in half a dozen. I genuinely think we are.
I mean, when it comes to the playoff final now, we'll have all this experience in finals that we should be able to actually get over the line this time. That'd be quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you're feeling confident.
Big time.
If we can't be feeling confident now, then you'll be the form we're on and the performances, when can we be?
Exactly. That's one defeat in 12 matches now, you know, coming off the back of a really, really convincing win in that cup game. I was in the air at the time, so I couldn't watch it. I did watch the highlights back. And, you know, convincing. Played really well for large periods of the game. I was obviously very surprised to see how much of a strong side we put out. But
yeah, it was great,
to show, one, that we're taking that cup seriously, and two, we want to keep the players in form that we've got in the side, keep them in the side, keep that going. We had a week's break before we were going to face Leicester on Saturday. You may as well play them. You can't be going into that game thinking, oh, I'll rest a few players just in case they get injured, because 9 times out of 10, if your mindset is that you might get injured.
Well, we discussed that, didn't we? In the in the preview pod to it, we discussed that, and you know, I was pleasantly surprised to see the team as well, and obviously, and sort of that was probably the most dominant performance I've seen from us. You know, in a game that the expectation was that we'd win, but normally that doesn't expectation and commentary wins don't always go hand in hand.
Especially in the FA Cup.
We saw that last year, of course. And they're no mugs. They're not some rubbish, League One team adrift at the bottom. They're fighting, in the playoff places or thereabouts. And from minute one, regardless of the little setback equaliser, it was just complete domination. We looked not one, not two, but levels above them. And it showed all of our players really looked so much faster, so much sharper, so much fitter. Tactically, we were it was mad, really, to sort of quite eye opening. I think for a lot of Oxford fans who, you got to remember, when the draw was made, we weren't on this great run of form, and they saw this team probably down in 15th, 16th in the championship, and they thought, oh, we can take these. I think a lot of them, and I listened to their BBC phone-in afterwards, and they were absolutely disillusioned. I mean, to get, absolutely, their heads handed to them, and 6-2 flattered them. That it really, the positions we got into, it should have been 9 or 10, no doubt about it. And
I was in the cab to the hotel, and I saw the result. I was thinking, obviously a brilliant result. And I'm thinking the journeys that both clubs have been on. Like, we played them in the Checker Trade final.
Yes.
We've gone backwards and then eclipsed them, obviously, to get back into the Championship from League Two to League One, and then obviously where we are now. But we are levels above that sort of side now. It's
levels. You know,
we know there's a big gap between the Championship and League One. We know that full well from our first season and a half, shall we say, in the division, once we come back to the Championship. But we're now so far ahead of League One clubs that...
In more ways than one, actually, literally.
Mind-blowing.
When you think back to that Checker Trade game, which is so still in the recent memory, really, and we took that big step, obviously, back going down to then, take these strides forward, and just everything. I mean, Oxford fans, were ringing up their radio saying, the whole setup, the whole ground. Again, I went into the Superstore, bought the new pony home top, mate, like you. Got that.
You got the home one as well.
The home one, yeah.
Yeah, I need to. I'm hearing thoughts about sizes, Ross. I'm not too happy.
Large was fine for me, and I get a large on the normal kits. It was, it's not a problem.
Everything seems bigger, apparently.
The sleeves are, but in terms of like the actual general,
but the sleeves
fit,
in the 90s were like that way. Well,
yes, of course they were. That's what I mean. I would get the size that you normally get, and in the normal tops.
How goes the quality that I'm seeing as well? Like,
unbelievable.
It's,
yeah,
it's like literally as it was.
It's absolutely bang on.
Or even better. The
badge,
maybe.
Yeah, the badge, the sponsor, everything. So yeah, I mean. But that whole setup, the store, seeing how busy it is with all the new retail, and you can see, we've talked about how commercially and retail size. When you go back a few years to when we had the arena shopping park shop, which just did the home and away kit, and then probably a water bottle, and then you go in and you
and some
see
antifreeze,
and some antifreeze, but you see it now, and it's great to see so many. They were flying off the shelves. Was the FA Cup one that sold out and everything else? But the setup of that, and then you look back to you think there was 18,000 there. That was just below our average attendance for our first year back after COVID at the CBS. And our average this year is already just under 25,000 average.
It's something we've said quite a few over the last few years, is that you get things right off the pitch and it translates to on the pitch and vice versa. And everything just seems to be going in the right direction at the moment.
100%. And then, and that's why I've always said it, the job at Mark Robbins, what he did was paper over the sort of inadequacies of the club as a whole, which was still very League Two, some areas sort of poor, because we were doing so well on the pitch, it sort of, papers over the cracks. Whereas now the rest of the club feels like it's been elevated up to where it should be. And the whole, it was a lovely sunny day. I mean, I was almost burning. I was like, what was going on where I was sat? But no, it was a great performance. And I think, it was unanimous, from their camp that,
What about the goal?
Oh, Ross. Let's talk about the goal. Yeah, the Casey Palmer. What from my, obviously you've sat where I sit, and it was just being behind that, seeing it top poster stamp, top right corner. That was probably from my seat, the best goal I've seen. The only other one that comes even close to that in terms of view is, you remember that Jordan Shipley one that sort of first time against QPR?
QPR, yeah.
That top corner. But it was unbelievable from Palmer, and he was an absolute joke. Like, he was ridiculously good. And
yeah, he's getting back to that level now where it's just like he's so far ahead of other players in the division.
Again,
from a technical standpoint.
He was head and shoulders above anything they had on the pitch, like anywhere near. Their best player was head and shoulders below him. Do you know what I mean? That's just him and O'Hare, and then Sakamoto. Had you right not in the squad, rested Ellis Sims, Matty Godden, and this is your chance, Dino, to be really positive for all the people on Twitter, when we talk about the players.
The podcast is, we have to judge things how we see things, right? And there is no doubt that Matty Godden is a fantastic striker. All I was saying last week is that I think we've moved on a little bit from what he can provide us. That's not to say he's shit or he can't do a job for us. He showed he can do a job for us, but under the right circumstances.
Well, I guess,
and he showed against this. Look at this game. Perfect example of that.
Prime example. That's what exactly what I was thinking afterwards was, you've got this League One side in the, you know, won a challenge for the playoffs, and he looked head and shoulders above him, like, in just sharpness. And it, all it is we're not a bottom six championship side. We're a championship side looking to a minimum playoffs, ideally next year. Why can't we go one step further and break into that top two? That's where we're at now. And all that you were saying is Matty Godden that guy as a starter to be in that sort of team? But he came on and showed actually in 20 minutes, 25 minutes that he looks hungry. When he's sort of like, I don't know, a bit annoyed or a bit peeved off or whatever, I think that's a dangerous Matty Godden.
I'm also against how this whole attitude thing, I don't like to see it personally. I think it sparks up too many sort of rumours and all that sort of stuff. And what's the effect on the team? That's what I don't like about it. Like, I don't understand why he does that.
Is
it to show that he's annoyed about the situation? Goals, right? And then celebrating. Like, the best thing in the world, all I ever hear from players, ex-players on podcasts, etc., is that you cannot replicate the feeling of scoring a goal.
No, celebrating. It's the best feeling in the world, yeah.
So... I'm not really with him in regards to not celebrating. I think it's a bit petty, if I'm honest.
I mean, I scored a wonderful goal on Monday night, Sixers side, and I celebrated. I can tell you damn sure.
Klinsmann?
Jokeres, mate, all of them. All of them came out, mate. Oh, I did the cup of tea, yeah. But no, I do agree. I mean, I look at it. I mean, Robbins, I saw on Twitter, Simon Gilbert, I think, said that Robbins said he was just annoyed about the amount of minutes that he'd been playing, although he's played the most minutes out of any striker. So maybe he's just a bit frustrated at that. But I mean, it would have been nice for him to sort of smile and give a little wave to the fans. I mean, he doesn't need to go crazy because we're 4-5-2 up at that point when he scores the first goal. But
yeah, but is he also respecting the opposition at that point?
I think there's a lot
really
of
stuff.
We don't
really
know
until we hear from him, right? We are probably overthinking it massively. But it's just a little bit annoying that I would give anything to score a goal you know?
Yes, yeah, I know what you mean. And it sort of felt like, I mean, put it this way, if he scores on Saturday, I can guarantee he will be celebrating. I bet he's probably saving them all up. The lawnmower will come out, everything.
The plane. The plane into lawnmower. The plane into handshake.
In front of the Leicester fans, fingers in the ears. That's all
the
I want.
Coffee cups thrown down.
But yeah, I mean, again, a few players, I guess him, Casey Palmer, you know, made claims to be able to, you know, be in contention for obviously this Saturday. Louis Binks, it was possibly his sort of final game. It was Kitchen's final game of suspension, so he is available. Looking ahead to Leicester then, you know, I guess they're the three key areas, three positions that are up for debate. And obviously Palmer or Wright, Godden or Sims, or Kitchen and Binks. Where are you on those three?
I suppose the easy one is Hadji Wright, right? That's, I mean... If he's fit,
Hadji Wright, right.
Yeah. He's in. If he's fit, right. So that's a simple one. Who else are we saying? Kitchen and Binks, right? That's difficult because Binks has shown he's been more than capable to deputise in that position. But I would feel better if Kitchen was playing because of how well it went beforehand. And then I'm also, one side of my brain saying shouldn't break that up either, what we've got going on at the moment. There's obviously an understanding there, but I would still go for Kitchen. And what was the third one?
And Godden or Sims?
Oh, no doubt about it. Sims has to play this game. I don't think Godden has got... I don't think he's got the movement to keep up with Wright and Sakamoto in this game. Up against Vestergaard and FaZe.
I feel like Sims
can get in there and
get
and
at
just,
them a little bit.
Yeah, more. and just cause a little bit of trouble. Like that second half against Middlesbrough, if we can get the ball in behind Justin and Pereira, force FaZe and Vestergaard into positions they don't want to be in, I think we've got more of a chance of Sims doing that than we will with Matty Godden.
Well, I agree. And I guess, you know, sort of looking at Leicester's back line, I was speaking to So a few friends of Leicester fans, and they seem to think that Callum Doyle's going to start instead of Justin. And they think it'll be Doyle, Vestergaard, Fass, and Ricardo. But obviously when they attack, Ricardo goes into midfield. So then that leaves that space down their right side, which I think automatically opens it up for Hadji Wright, you know, to try and exploit that.
Do you know
space.
What? Bring that on. I'd love to I'd love to see Hadji Wright against Callum Doyle. I think Callum Doyle's worst attribute is when a player is facing up against him.
Well, I think it'll either be if Doyle's on the left, it'll be Sakamoto against him, which again I fancy our chances.
Well, isn't Justin playing on the right at the moment?
No, it's Ricardo on the right. Justin's on the left out of position. But
either. Against Callum Doyle, as I say, his worst attribute is a player facing up against him and going at him.
And jinking. He's not the most agile, is he?
No.
And so, Sakamoto could
that's obviously a point where you can really get that. So let's see that. If Justin does play, I am worried about his pace. But if he's going to probably go up against Van Ivac, it might cancel each other out in that.
Well, so that'd be a good battle, wouldn't it? You've got potentially looking at Van Ivac and Sakamoto against Mavadidi and either Justin or Doyle. And there's no one you'd rather have in the championship to go against Mavadidi, who looks arguably their sort of star player. You know, obviously they've got a few very good players, but he's really standing out. And amongst Leicester fans, they see him as probably being the next sort of big player that impresses next year in the Premier League and then is sort of sold on.
I think between him and Dewsbury Hall have probably been the standout players in the championship completely for me.
Well, Dewsbury Hall is one of those players, and there's a few that I think of over the years in the championship who looks too good for the championship, yet in the Premier League, I speak to a lot of Leicester fans and they just can't stand it and he's not good enough. Do you know what I mean? He's one of those, Michael Chopra always fits the bill where he was a joke in the championship.
Yeah.
And then in the Premier League just never
hit the heights.
Yeah. But obviously, look, he showed his quality, didn't he, on the opening day.
Is Dewsbury Hall actually out injured though?
I've not heard that, no.
I read a report where it was, he was on the sidelines recently.
Interesting.
I don't know where I've seen that.
Obviously, we all know about their form. They've only lost 3 games all season, only 1 away from home. They have only kept 3 clean sheets away from home. So but they've only conceded more than 1 goal like once in the whole season. So, you know, defensively they are strong, but that a lot of it I think comes down to not so much their personnel, because a lot of Leicester fans say to me they want a complete overhaul sort of thing defensively. In the summer, but it's their style of play is passing for sort of passing sake, very possession patient, waiting for the clear and obvious opening. So how do you think we're going to approach this game? Because obviously Southampton are obviously similar in terms of that passing style. We've seen them counter with 1 balls over the top against Millwall, Birmingham, you know, and other sides who leave those gaps at the back. How do you see us approaching it?
I don't see us approaching it much differently to the last few games at home. I think Leicester are one of those teams that give up chances quite easily. We saw that in the first game of the season. I mean, we could have easily won that football match. And since then, I've watched them maybe 4 or 5 times and they continue to just give up chances against them. The good thing is that they score a lot of chances too. So I think this game really comes down to our finishing capabilities. If we can finish X amount of chances that we create, I'm sure actually we'll come out on top. I'm very confident of that, especially with a home crowd. You know, it's going to be raucous inside the CBS. As for what they might do and how they might sort of counteract this, of course they're going to try to play through the middle of the pitch as much as they can and then utilize the pace they have. So we've got to be wary of that, but I'm not too afraid. I'm actually going to this one. You know, sometimes you go against the top of the division, best team, by far the best squad and team in the league. You go into those games and you're kind of already on the back foot because of just where they are. I don't feel like we're in that position going into this
one. And we shouldn't be doing that. Yeah, I think that's why a lot of teams have lost to Leicester, particularly recently, because they've already decided they've lost before the ball's even been kicked. And their whole, a lot of teams' mentality has been like, oh, they'll let Hermanson, the goalie, have it, because they're like, well, you can't score if you've got it. Whereas actually, when they played Liverpool, now I'm not saying we're as good as Liverpool, but it was a much changed Liverpool side in the Cup. They got caught out time and time again, Leicester. Time and time again. And we showed it last year against Burnley, away, when we created all those chances. And actually, we can give as good as we've got. And I really do think we are up there with top 3-4 best sides in the league. And I think, as you said, we've got to be ruthless. We can't afford any selfish, silly mistakes. We've got to defend sensibly. But, you know, Van Aanbach, I back him to be able to get back in position and Sakamoto against Mavadidi. He's obviously very good. We can't let him cut inside. He's shown several times that he can cut in from that left. And he's obviously got a wonderful right foot and has scored several goals. He's in very good form. Dewsbury Hall, again, can't give him time. And that's going to be Sheaves and, you know, Eccles or Latibodia, whoever he goes for in that midfield to sort of keep tabs on him. But we, compared to the opening day of the season, we've changed system. We've got Callum O'Hare back. We've got Van Aanbach, who came on as a sub that game. He hadn't bedded in. Sakamoto came on as a sub that game. Hadn't bedded in. Haji Wright had trained for one day. Hadn't bedded in. Casey Palmer was sort of, you know, we had Kelly coming on. All due respect to him. We had Latibodia playing left centre-back. We didn't hadn't signed Kitchen. We had Wilson in goal. Our squad has changed a lot more compared to than theirs has since that opening day. And our style has changed in terms of the new system. And Van Aanbach now looks, you know, like a world beater sort of thing. Sakamoto, we wouldn't start a game without him now. Do you know what I mean? And Haji Wright off the left. So I think you think back to that opening game, you think to the chances we created and how we should have won the game. And I think we're in a much better place than we were then.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, that gives me so much confidence that we're a much better side than we showed that day, and we were still very, very close to winning that match. And that sort of gives me huge optimism going into the game on Saturday as well.
Yeah, it's strength and depth in it. Jamie Allen, he had the heart condition, so he wasn't in the squad either. So we didn't have, yeah. I mean,
and everyone was new. Everyone was new. You know, there's a few players that were coming late in that transfer window, yeah. So everyone's still getting used to each other. I mean, Haji Wright was, what, 2 days, 3 days before?
Yeah, yeah, and he was on the bench. He'd, like, trained one day and was there, and it was like, and you could just see, you know, obviously Godden started, and obviously it was the day where he, you know, couldn't, you know, obviously missed a couple of chances, which would have killed the game off. But like you say, the harmony now compared to then is chalk and cheese. Bobby Thomas has come from strength to strength. Collins in goal now, you know, and you sort of, I feel like we've got that sort of, we've got that belief in the squad now, which we didn't maybe have then. It felt like, obviously, it was a much changed side. We'd lost Jokeres Hamer, obviously. That was the only thing we had, and he was basically controlling the game. And again, I think in that game, he papered over the cracks to the flaws of that system, the five at the back. And I guess that was the trait we had. That Leicester game epitomised our issue at the start of the season, was we looked susceptible to conceding, didn't we? Like, we just sort of sat deeper and deeper. Whereas now, the back four, it means that Sheaf or whoever plays alongside him can do that job. O'Hare's in. I mean, he is a game changer, you know, which we didn't have in that opening game. So to link up. And obviously, Palmer, to have someone like Palmer in the form he's in, looking hungry like he is to come off the bench. I mean, is there any...
You can change games, right? I think for me, we need to not let the occasion get the better of us, because it's a derby. You know, it's our big rivals. They might not say we're their rivals, but it's obvious it's a huge rivalry and a huge, huge derby day. So the occasion is going to be obviously different to what we've, you know, probably what a lot of the players have experienced at the CBS anyway. Just need to not let that occasion get to the better of us. And I trust Mark Robbins, and I trust the leaders in the squad to be able to deal with that. I still worry about leaders on the pitch, but by the by, it's, you know, you can deal with that.
Yeah. Mark Robbins, for me, this is his first home game against Leicester, that being charged of us, because obviously they'd been in the Premier League, and the first time around we were in League One. So he's very good. When we played Rotherham that season back in the Championship, when we could have, you know, fighting relegation, he is generally very, very good at, you know, he's one of the calmest guys. He'll probably be the calmest guy in the stadium, or at least he'll look it. And I think that will exude. I think actually what the players have got to look at is they went to Ellen Road, do you know what I mean? Hostile, and they dealt with it. Kitchen, Thomas, all these young players. And I feel like...
But it'll be in our favour this time.
It will be. And I think a good performance and obviously a result would be massive.
And it really sets us up looking ahead. Like this could be a real catalyst to push us on in this month, which we've recognised it could be a very, very important month.
A massive month. And you know, you look at the rest of this month and you look at February and you think, we could get a draw, we could get a win on Saturday, back that up, you know, against Sheffield Wednesday, back it up in the FA Cup. You look at it and there's nothing to fear there. Yeah. You know, if we've been to Leeds, we're now playing Leicester at home. If you can get past these and with a good performance and get a result, then there's nothing to fear in the rest of the division. There really isn't. And you look at it, and I think not even just this season, but I think what it would do for these young players, your Kitchens, your Thomases and all that, to be like, to actually start having that little bit of swagger that actually we can go to Sheffield Wednesday and go, we know we're a really good team and we're going to go there and we're going to pass you off the park and we're going to win the game like we did to Middlesbrough. We went there and we showed them up when we turned it on. So, yeah, it's an exciting game.
Our last win versus Leicester. Can you remember this?
Yes, it was. I do remember it because I've seen 13 matches, Coventry-Leicester. I've seen 0 wins, 6 defeats. Sorry, 7 defeats and 6 draws. And it was the one game we won is the game I didn't go to, Leon Best and Kevin Thornton. We've only won one since we got relegated from the Premier League.
Leon Best and Elliot Ward actually scored.
Sorry,
the goals.
Kevin Thornton played it to Leon Best, and he was
get yellow carded, Kevin Thornton.
Yeah,
can you have a go at naming the team that day?
Have you got it in front of you? Have you?
I've got it in front of me. Yep.
I'd say.
God, Andy I'm looking Marshall. At the Leicester team. It's absolutely awful.
Well, it was the year they went down, wasn't it? I'd say Andy Marshall.
Andy Marshall in goal. Yep. Yeah.
No,
you got you got Ward and Best.
Yeah, Ward, Danny Fox, Scott Dan.
No, Scott Dan.
Ben Turner.
No, we only played three at the back.
At the back, interesting.
So well, we had five.
You had Michael Doyle, Steve Hughes, Mifsud.
Stephen Hughes played. Yep. Mifsud.
Isaac Osborne, right back or something.
Isaac Osborne. No. No, I'll go for it. So Ward, Fox, Marcus Hall.
Yeah, Marcus Hall, right back.
Julian Gray, Michael Hughes, Stephen Hughes, Isaac Osborne, J-Tab, Leon Best, Michael Mifsud. Now, so some of those names are blast from the past there. Scott Dan was an unused substitute, along with Dimi, Constantopoulos. Yeah.
We haven't got a good record in recent times, have we, against them? And I feel like the biggest issue when I think back to all my games that I went home and away is I always feel like we went down with a whimper, that their team felt like they turned up their squad almost like their
better.
Fans would, and they were like, we're better than these, and we're gonna win. And even the home games, there was a couple of times at home we drew, and I was like, oh, you know, another day, could have won it. But I want to see us on Saturday be like, we're going head to head.
Take it to them.
Yeah. And actually relish the challenge of having the 28,000 home support behind you, and actually and be like, we're gonna silence these fans, and actually do to Leicester what teams always do to us, you know, when we take a big following and then they sort of turn up,
try and suffocate the crowd.
Yeah. So I mean, bring it on. Anyone else you can see getting into the starting 11? Do you expect any other changes at all?
No, I think it'll be, for me, yeah, it'll be Collins, Van Ivac, Bobby Thomas, Liam Kitchen, Jake Bidwell. I think Bidwell's going to be very important in this game. I think his positioning is absolutely key, where he positions himself at both ends of the pitch. I've been super impressed with him. I think he's coming for a lot of criticism over the last 12 months, I would say. He's a fantastic player at this level, and we're very, very lucky to have him. And I think he's showing some of the form of his life, I'm going to say, over the past few months. So I'm really, really pleased to see that from Bidwell. So he'll be at left back. Eccles, Sheaf, then Sakamoto.
Is there a case for Latibodia? Is there a case for Latibodia?
No, I don't think so. Not at the moment. I think Eccles and Sheaf is quite solid. And they've got a partnership at the moment, which has been working well.
And Eccles will be up for this game, won't he? You know?
Of course, yeah, being a Coventry kid. So yeah, them two, and then it'll be Sakamoto, O'Hare, Hadji Wright and Ellis Sims. And wouldn't this be the perfect opportunity now for Sims to be a match winner and kick on his career? He started let's be honest, with a whimper. He's come into his own a little bit over the last couple of weeks. I thought he had, a terrific game against Oxford.
Yes.
That might be something that just sort of slightly builds his confidence and he can take it into this game and showcase what he's all about. We know he's got talent, just hasn't showed it. Like we said with Hadji Wright, he's got talent, hasn't shown it, but he has over the past 6 weeks or so, and he's flourishing. So let's hope the same could be said of Sims in 6 weeks' time.
Yeah, exactly. Fingers crossed. Will you be able to watch the game, Dean?
Final tea time here in Dubai. It should mean they finish around about 4 o'clock when I'm 4 hours ahead. So what, that'd be 12 o'clock. Is it 12:30 kickoff?
Half twelve.
I might be able to get back in time, at least for the second half. But yeah, I'll have Clive and the boys live in the car if I'm driving.
Fantastic. And finally I'll get a prediction then from you for the big game.
I think they'll score. But I'm going to go with 3-1.
Wow.
I think we always seem to turn up against big sides at home. I'm looking at the Fulham game. I'm looking at that Sheffield United game.
Yes.
Two of the standout teams in this division. Those occasions were big and we brought it to them. And I think if we can sort of reignite those flames again for this one, I think we'll bring home a 3-1 victory, which would be the perfect sort of way to kick on from this period, but also to sort of solidify our position in the league as well.
Exactly. And it would set us up perfectly for a Coventry City collapse against Sheffield Wednesday the following week, wouldn't it?
Back to back.
It would set us up to going from potentially beating the league leaders to playing team the bottom three. But yes, that fingers crossed, Dean, and we'll leave it at 3-1, your prediction then. And that's all we've got time for now. Thank you, as always, everyone, for listening and for your continued support. Make sure you follow us at Sky Blues Extra. And I'll see you at the brewery on Saturday at 10 a.m. for some early pies before kickoff. And play up, you Sky Blues.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.